This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
And so today we're continuing our message on exceeding faith. And I believe that these messages are going to help you grow in your faith. Amen? And so the central point to my message today is faith has to be exercised to grow. How many people like to exercise out here? We got three. We don't have nobody likes to exercise. Why? Because it takes work. Amen. It takes work, and so we buy a treadmill and then we use it for a couple months and then it just sits around and becomes a plant holder. Has anybody ever done that? Or bought an exercise machine and you tried it out for a couple of times and then now it's in the closet. Amen. So if your faith's going to have to get out of the closet, amen. It's going to have to get out of the corner of the room. Amen. You're going to have to learn to exercise your faith. Amen. And so we've been learning about faith, how faith comes, you know, that faith can grow, that you can walk in great faith or you can walk in, you know, little faith. And hopefully through these messages, you will learn to grow in great faith. Amen. And that's the key. And that's the only way to please God is by faith. Amen. And let's look at Hebrews 11:6, our main text this morning. It says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him, to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, I'm looking at diligent seekers out here. You're not casual seekers, amen. You're diligent seekers in God. And I really believe this, that it says that faith, you know, I really believe faith begins in knowing that God exists, but not only that, but that God is good. If you get in your understanding that God is a good God, no matter what you may be going through, because the devil will try to make you think that God's not a good God when we're going through bad circumstances in life. The devil will try to say, see what God is putting you through? But God is not putting you through these things. God is really trying to help you. He's not trying to put you into a place of misery. Amen? And so we have to understand that faith begins with knowing that God is good, that he exists, and that he is a good God. And when you understand that, you will seek him out. And when you seek him out, you will understand that God's greatest desire, I believe one of his greatest desires, is to bless us. Amen. Do you believe that? Think about Jesus. Have you ever, think about when Jesus walked around this earth, what did he do? He went around healing, delivering, and setting people free. He went around blessing people, changing people's lives for good. Is that right? And I'm going to say this, God wants to change your life for good. Do you believe that today? Amen. And I love that. So we discovered in our series that faith doesn't come by praying or seeing miracles. Sometimes we want to see an angel, you know, and you ever pray to ask God, God, show me an angel. But that doesn't produce faith. Faith only comes one way, and it's in Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I believe that the translator was led by the Holy Spirit to put hearing and hearing. Because you got to continue to hear the word of God constantly. Right. Is that right? Why? Because the devil's trying to take it out of us. The world's trying to take it out of us. Amen. Persecution's trying to take the word of God out of us. And you got to keep hearing that God is good, that God wants to bless you, that God has a plan for your life, and it's a good plan. You got to keep hearing that because the devil's constantly talking too. Doesn't the devil talk to you every once in a while? But you know what? Allow the word of God to speak louder than old Slewfoot. Amen. Allow the word of God to speak louder than the devil. Amen. So the word of God produces faith in those who hear it. But here's the key. If you're gonna exercise your faith, if you're gonna become like a Hercules, how many people want to be like, well, ladies don't want to be Hercules, but But how many people like to be a Hercules in faith? Hercules was a big, strong person that lifted up the world. Amen. And we want to be like a Hercules in the faith realm. We want to have strong spirits. Amen. And so really, the Word of God produces faith. But if you're going to exercise faith, you not only do you have to hear it, but you have to act on it. What, Pastor? You mean I can't just listen and just do my own thing? No. You got to hear the word, but you got to also do the word. Is that right? So consistently hearing the word will bring you into a place of doing the word. I'm going to say it again. Consistently hearing the word will put you in a place of doing the word. Amen. So here's a scripture that I love. Because sometimes, you know, we endeavor to do things that are hard. Have you ever tried to do anything that was hard in your life? You know, hard things. And maybe things that you may seem that might be impossible. Maybe God's showing you a business to get involved in, or maybe God's revealing to you things that you can do to move to the next level in your finances. Well, you know, you can do it. Say, I can do it. And I like Philippians 4:13. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This tells me that God is a can-do God. That tells me that God is saying to each one of us that we can do all things through Christ. Anybody ever used that scripture before? Yes. Amen. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is powerful because it's not about you doing it in your own power. It's about you doing it in God's power. You can't live this life in your power. You can't do it by willpower. You know, you can say, well, you might have some strong willpower, but spirit power is greater than willpower. God's Holy Spirit power working in us will help us overcome the weaknesses of our flesh. Do you believe that today? I love that. And so I love this because we need to be standing on scriptures that we can exercise and that we can move forward in God. I love this scripture here. And Paul was going through a lot of problems. You know, the Apostle Paul went through a lot of problems in his ministry. And the devil was really against the Apostle Paul. And I'm going to say this. If you're going through a lot of problems, that means God has a purpose for you. Amen. That God has a plan for your life, and the devil might be trying to upset that plan that God has for your life. So anytime you start trying to move close to God, the devil will try to attack you at times. Amen. Why? He's trying to discourage us. He's trying to get us down. The devil's trying to make us look at the circumstances. But we are faith Christians. We don't look at the circumstances. We look at the Word of God. We allow the Word of God to strengthen us. And so in 2 Corinthians 12:9, the Apostle Paul was seeking the Lord, and he sought him three times because the devil was hindering Paul, was coming against Paul. And the Holy Spirit said to Paul, my grace, in 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And then Paul says, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities than in the power of Christ may rest upon me. So what Paul was saying was that when Paul is weak, God is strong. When we are weak, God can be strong in our life. And faith, what faith does, it activates the grace of God in our lives. I would say it again, faith activates the grace. What is the grace of God? Well, we know grace is God's unmerited favor, but it's more than that. It's God's power working in our lives to be successful and prosperous in this life. God wants you successful. He wants you blessed. He wants you prosperous. Can I get an amen on here? I hope you don't disagree with that. Amen. Some people have taken a vow of poverty. Amen. And it's okay if you want to do that, but I'd rather take a vow of prosperity. Amen. Why? Because if I'm blessed, I can bless others. Because the Bible says that God blessed Abraham so he can be a blessing. So if you're broke, busted, and disgusted, how are you going to help somebody else? So God doesn't want you broke, busted, and disgusted. He wants you blessed beyond measure. Can I get an amen here?
Amen.
I got some amens here. Amen. And it's okay to be blessed. It's okay to have more than enough. It's okay. Why? So you can take it and build the kingdom of God with it. Amen. So you're building a legacy, not only in this earth, but a legacy in heaven. Say, I'm building a legacy in heaven. And everything that we do for God, God is seeing it, and He's going to reward us if we do it with the right heart motive. I got to say that. You got to do it with the right heart motive. Amen. And so I love this. So God's grace is sufficient for us, and God is made strong in our weaknesses. In other words, God's grace enables us to stand strong in any weak areas in our lives. So if we're going to exercise, somebody say exercise. Amen. I know that's a hard word to say to some of us. If we're going to exercise our faith, amen, we got to do that by hearing and obeying and practicing God's word. Let's look at James this morning. And I love the book of James. And James, Apostle James, some say the book of James is the book of wisdom for the New Testament. We know Proverbs is the book of wisdom for the Old Testament. And so if you read James, I'm telling you, James will set you straight. Amen. He will set you straight. And in James 1, 22 and 27, it says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks at the perfect law of liberty and continue in it," see right there, underline that, continue in it. Amen. It's not just looking at it once. Amen. "And continue in it, and not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." Wow. So we see here, when you look at this, these verses that I just read, we see that Paul gives us a warning at the very beginning of this verse. He gives us a warning that as Christians, if we don't do the word of God, we can deceive ourselves. In other words, the devil doesn't have to work too hard against us. Because if we're not obeying God's word, we can be self-deluded or self-deceived. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? So obeying God's word, you know, it is important not to be deceived. And we need to obey God's word. And I believe that we need to obey God's word by walking in righteousness, by doing what's right. We can forget what kind of person that we are and forfeit the blessings of the new creation life that Jesus paid for us to have if we stop obeying the word of God, if we stop doing what is right. And I'm going to say this, we got to learn to walk in righteousness. You got to learn, even Apostle Paul said to the Ephesian church, stop lying. Amen. And this was the Ephesian church. He says, don't lie. Amen. And why? Because we have a tendency to fall back in the old nature, that old nature that really is a dead nature, because we have a new nature in Christ. Say, I have a new nature in Christ. And so you have to identify with your new nature in Christ, not the old man. The Apostle Paul calls that person before you got saved, the old man. Don't resurrect the old man in your life. In other words, bury that old man. Why? Because sometimes he may want to. You know, sometimes I'm kidding, say, don't hurt the old man when I'm talking to my family. And But you want to bury the old man. Glory to God. My youth is renewed like the eagles. Amen. 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 I'm not getting older. I'm getting better. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. You guys aren't getting older. You're getting better because your youth is renewed like the eagles. Amen. So you got to identify. Somebody say identify. You got to identify with your new nature. And your new nature loves God. I love what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone in Christ, he is a new creation, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I love that. So your old life, basically, your old life is dead and your new life has been resurrected in Jesus Christ. And your new nature, really, your nature, because you got the God nature on the inside of you. I'm going to say it again, you got the God nature on the inside of you. And that God nature wants you to helps you to do good. I'm going to say it again. The Bible says there's no goodness apart from God. And so the nature of God in us compels us to be good doers. Is that right? And the nature of flesh compels us to do evil. Is that right? There's nothing good in the flesh. If you sow to the flesh, the Bible says, you will reap what? Blessing. No, you will reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, what will you reap? Life. Abundant life. Eternal life. Peace and joy. Are you hearing what I say? I want to sow to the Spirit. Amen. I want to sow to that new nature. Amen. In God. And so we need to identify with that new nature. That new nature loves God, loves the Word, and loves people. Right. Say, I love God. I love the Word of God. And I love people. That might be a hard one for some of us. That might be a hard one because people aren't easy to love. Some people are difficult to love. Keep looking straight ahead. Don't look at your spouse. Keep looking straight ahead. Some people are difficult to love. I think I heard a movie, something Living with the Enemy. I think there was a movie that it was about this lady that lived with a husband that was a little warped. Living with the Enemy. No, your spouse is not your enemy. The devil's your enemy. Now, your spouse might look like the devil every once in a while. You might need to cast that devil out of him every once in a while, or out of her every once in a while. But just because they act like the devil doesn't mean that they're the devil. Amen. And sometimes you act like the devil. What? Me, Pastor? Not me. Yeah, sometimes you act like the devil. When you're stuck in traffic and that person is at the light and it's turning green and they're just sitting there on their phone. Amen. You're in a hurry. And what are you doing? You're honking that horn. Amen. And so nothing wrong with that, but do a polite honk. Do a polite honk. We're Christians. We do polite honks. A really light beep. Not this, get out of the way. Move it or lose it. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? Why? We got to be very careful. We're not letting that flesh control us. Let the Spirit take ascendancy. Let the Spirit be in charge. So we practice God's word by walking in love. Amen? So it says here in James 1:25, but he who looks at the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So if you want to walk in the blessings of God, and I know each one of you do, then you got to be a doer of the word, because the Bible says if you're not a doer, you're not going to be walking in the blessing. But if you are the doer, you're going to be blessed. So I don't know about you, but I'm contending for the blessing. I want the blessing in my life. How many people want the blessing in their life? I know all you do. That's why you're here this Sunday morning. Glory to God. You're not trying to live this life for yourself. You're not trying to get it for yourself. You know that God can get it for you. Glory to God. Do you believe that today? So practicing our faith is not only speaking, obeying God's word, This is really the key here. It's controlling the words that come out of our mouths. Ooh. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? James says it this way. If anyone among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. You could just replace that word religion, and I believe you can replace it with faith. And you can say, if anyone thinks that he has faith and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's faith is useless. Amen. Glory to God. Because faith controls the words that come out of our mouths. Have you ever said anything you regret it? Have you ever said anything under pressure that you wish you didn't say? Amen? Have you ever said anything to anybody that you wish you could take the words back? Amen. Amen. And sometimes under pressure, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth leaks. Or the mouth speaks. Amen? Out of the abundance of the heart. And when we get pressure, sometimes we say the wrong things. But the power of God can work in your life. And you have the spirit of control, that's the fruit of the spirit, and you can learn to bite your lip. Have you ever bit your lip before when you really wanted to say something? When you wanted to give your rights to the other person? And so I'm going to say this, that faith controls the tongue. And the tongue, a lot of times, can be yielded to fear. And fear will cause us to say all kinds of wrong things. You know, the apostles, the disciples of Jesus, they walked with Jesus. Jesus was instructing them, showing them how to live this faith life. And they messed up at times. You know, the disciples messed up at times. That's why they're called disciples. That's why they're called disciples. Amen. Sometimes we're disciples. Amen. Of the Lord. Amen. Because we don't always listen. We don't always follow God's word. Sometimes we're stepping on our own mess. Amen. Have you ever done that? Amen. And I like what it says in Mark 4, 35 and 41. This is powerful. Stay with me this morning. And it says, on the same day when evening has come, Jesus said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now, when they had left the multitudes, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, talking about Jesus, was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. Boy, he was comfy and cozy, wasn't he, when the storm was going on. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Ooh, think about that. And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Can somebody say disciples? Amen. And so we see here that this is interesting because we learned last week that you can have great faith and you can have little faith and you can have no faith. And we see here, he said to disciples, you have no faith. And we see here that they were questioning that Jesus cared for them. See, when you're in the storms of life and when you're questioning God's love for you in the storms of life, that will take all the faith out of you. That's why I said in the very beginning of this message, you got to believe that God's good no matter what you're going through. Amen. You got to believe that he's good. And if the devil can make you think, well, God is putting you through this maze, this rat maze, so you can find the cheese at the end. No, he's not putting you through it. The devil's coming to try to steal your faith through you not believing that God is good. And so they didn't control their words. They said, Master, do you care that we perish. And so they doubted God's love for them in the storm. Never doubt God's love for you. Never doubt His love, no matter what you're going through. That's how you keep your faith alive, by believing that God is good and that He has a good plan and a good future for you, even though it might look pretty crummy today. Have you ever been there? Amen. It might look pretty crummy today, but I'm telling you, good days are ahead. The best is yet to come. You got to believe that. It may not be looking too good right now, but I'm telling you, it didn't look good when Jesus was on the cross. It looked pretty bad when he was being scourged and being crucified, and it looked bad on that Friday, but Sunday came. And I'm going to say this, it might be looking bad in your equation, things might not be working out, but I'm going to say this to you, Sunday's coming. And I'm telling you, Sunday is resurrection day. I'm telling you, you're coming out of your problems. You're coming out of your weaknesses. God's grace is sufficient for you. You got to believe that. You're not going under, you're going over. You're going to the other side. Jesus said, where is your faith? And what He basically said to them is, you had the power to command the storm yourself. Because if you're in the storm and Jesus is in the boat, and if He's in your boat, the boat cannot capsize. So your boat cannot be tipped over, glory to God. Have you ever been on a boat and it capsized? I was on a catamaran one time with my brother. And we hit that wave, man, and he had a new camera, and that was falling off, and that was back in the day where I wasn't saved back then. We had some brewskis on that thing, and they all fell off of it, and he almost lost his camera. Amen. That thing capsized. We had to push it back over. Anybody ever been on a catamaran? Let's do it after this service. Amen. No, I'm kidding, but amen. But what am I saying to you today? If Jesus is in your boat, the boat cannot tip over. And even if it tips over, He's going to tip it back. Do you believe that today? Let's look at another important way of acting on the Word. In Matthew 7:24-27, it says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, this is Jesus, and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the flood came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But if everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And the rains descend, and the floods came, and the winds blew, beat on the house, and it fell. And great was its fall. So this parable is talking about either having a firm foundation in your faith or having a quicksand foundation. And God wants us building a firm foundation, and you build that firm foundation in your faith by obeying God's Word and acting on God's Word as if God's Word is true. You have to act like God's Word is true. If God's Word says you're blessed and it may look like you're cursed, believe that you're blessed. Amen. Call yourself blessed. Call yourself prosperous. Call yourself healed. You get what you say. Amen. And so I love this in Psalms 125:1. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. So when you are standing on the Word of God, and you're speaking the Word of God, and you're trusting the Word of God will come to pass in your life. A vital component of faith is love. And you got to understand this, the devil's trying to attack some of our love walk. Because if he knows if he can attack your love walk, amen, especially your love for God, And your understanding of God's love for you, if he can attack you in this area, your love walk with your relationships, the devil's going to hurt your faith. Because in Galatians it says this in 5:6, For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working by love. So if you're going to exercise your faith, you're going to have to exercise love in your life. Can I get a witness in the house today? You're going to have to exercise life. The Amplified in Galatians says, for if we are in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but only faith activated and expressed and working through love. Faith activated and expressed and working through love. So really the engine of your faith is love. I love that. So how are you going to practice faith? How are you going to practice? How are you going to exercise your faith? Well, you got to practice it. And how do you practice it? You got to do what the Word of God says. In Matthew 5, 43 and 47, talking about love, Jesus said, if you have heard it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. So we need to love those that are unlovely towards us. We know people really aren't your enemy. It's the devil. And the devil uses people, glory to God. So we have to love those that are unlovely to us. Amen? And then it says here, number two, bless those who curse you. What? So somebody comes in and insults you and you give them a voucher for a meal, a free meal, right? Now, you know, that our flesh doesn't want to bless somebody that hurts us. Our flesh wants to get back at people that hurt us. Is that true? You come against me, you want to dance with me? You want some of this? That's what the flesh says. You want some of this? I'm a New Yorker, you know. You want some of this? And so the flesh wants to jump back. But you know what? The spirit is meek. The spirit walks in love and blesses those who, the spirit blesses those who curse us. Amen? And then he says, do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. What? Pray for those? Pray for them. Because if you pray for them, maybe God will show them the error of their way and bring them out of the snare of the devil and maybe change their life and turn them around. Because you don't want them reaping what they're sowing. And the Bible is very clear. Whatsoever a man sows, so shall he reap. And if you sow again to the flesh, if you sow wrong things will happen. Is that right? So it says here that if we do these things, practice the word, that you may be sons of the Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and the good, sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Amen? And so, you know, we have to practice walking in love if we're going to be strong in God. Another key to practice our faith, we need to practice our faith in loving the body. Do you love the body of Christ? Do you love the church members that are in the church? Glory to God. Sometimes people get upset with each other in the church and they will sit separately. Amen. Or they might get upset with somebody that they were friends with in the church and they used to sit with them. And then when they come to church, they're sitting on the opposite end. Amen. And that has happened in the past. But we don't want to be like that. We want to love people. Amen. We want to put up with, love puts up with people. I'm going to say that again. Love puts up with people, puts up with their ways, and their ways may not be too good. So love, the Bible says, bear with one another. What does that mean, bearing with one? That means you got to grit your teeth, bite your lip, and walk in love. Amen? Amen. In Galatians 6:10, it says, therefore, if we have an opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are in the household of faith. Amen? And in Hebrews 10:24, it says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as a manner of some, but exhorting one another so much that more as you see the day approaching. So here, Apostle Paul is saying there were people in that day that didn't assemble with the group. And there were people that stayed home. They didn't come to church. And so Paul is saying, hey, let us come together. Let us stir one another up for good works. You know, I had a good report today about a person I prayed for last week, and God's working a miracle in that situation. And I'm telling you, that blessed the pastor. So even the pastor can get stirred up with good reports that come back. Amen? That means, man, maybe I'm making a difference. Maybe I'm doing something good. Maybe it's not all in vain. Maybe God is working, even though it may not look like He's working. You know, the devil will always try to tell me, say, Pastor, you're not effective. You're not doing anything for anybody. That's how the devil talks to pastors. You're not effective. You're not doing anything. But then God sends somebody. God's answering prayer. People are getting blessed. Things are changing. I'm like, thank God, maybe I am doing something right. Amen? And that's how the devil will try to do. The devil is the accuser of the brethren. He will always try to make you feel like you're not doing anything. But just getting up and praying for somebody, worshiping God, being good to somebody in church is doing something, glory to God. Just showing up blesses the pastor. Just showing up blesses me, glory to God. I'm like, thank God we got people in the church. Amen. Because, I mean, at times I thought about getting cardboard people. Amen. Just to make me feel good, you know. Cardboard people, glory to God. But I'm telling you, this church is filling up. People are coming in. People are going to learn about Exceed Life Church. Because God's going to be doing great things in your lives. And you're going to be the Pied Pipers of faith. Pied piping people into Exceed Life Church. Pretty soon we're going to need a bigger building. Glory to God. It's coming, glory to God. It's coming, amen. So we practice our faith by speaking God's word. How many God speakers in here? Glory to God. You're called to be professional speakers for God. Amen. And I love this. It says in Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For He is promised and He is faithful. So we say we got to hold fast. That means we hold on to dear life to the words that we speak in faith towards our circumstances in this life. We hold on because God is faithful and it's going to come to pass. Whatever you're believing God for, it will come to pass. In Hebrews 3:1, it says, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and the high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. When you're speaking the word of God, Jesus echoes it to the Father. I'm going to say again, when you speak the word of God, Jesus echoes it. You say, where is that at? Matthew 10:32. I'm glad you asked. In Matthew 10:32, I like to make a statement and then back it up with the word of God. Is that all right? Can I back it up with the word of God? And it says here in Matthew 10:32, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. So if you're confessing the Lordship of Jesus Christ, Jesus is confessing you before the Father of God. Your voice echoes through Jesus in heaven. If it's a voice of faith. How many voices of faith do I have in the house today? How many voices of faith are speaking the word regardless of what it looks like? When we speak God's word, we keep standing strong against the devil's tactics in our life. In Revelation 12:11, it says, and they overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives even to the death. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. You just need to testify a little bit more. If you're weak in faith, start testifying about the goodness of God in your life. God is a good God. Hallelujah. Do you believe that today? I was sick, but I am healed. Glory to God. I was broke, but I am prosperous, glory to God. My relationships were a little wrecked, but they're getting better in Jesus' name. Start confessing the truth. We practice our faith by not only speaking the word, we practice our faith by worshiping and praising God. Can I get a witness in the house today? How many worshipers do I have in the house today? Glory to God, I have worshipers. Jesus said, if you don't praise him, the rocks will cry out and praise him. Amen. And I don't want some rock out praising me. Amen. Jesus said, but the hour is coming. Talking to the lady that was at the well in John 4, 23. That now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So this verse tells me that not only is the military looking for a few good men, but God is looking for a few good people that will worship him. How many worshipers again in the house? Amen. You're all a worshipers. I like what it says in Psalms 100. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with sadness. Oh, that's a reverse translation. Excuse me. Serve the Lord with gladness. Amen. It's not, oh, this is my hard cross to bear. I'm bearing a hard cross for Jesus. No, Jesus bore the hard cross. He took the stripes on his body for your healing. He took the spikes in his hands and his feet, the thorns in his head for you to be relieved from the pressures of life. Amen. And I'm telling you, we come before God in gladness, in his presence with singing. Know that the Lord God, he is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with grumbling. Hey, thanksgiving. Amen. Into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him. But doesn't the squeaky wheel get the grease, Pastor? Don't you have to cry, complain all the time? Well, yeah, but that's the world's way of doing it. But our way, we don't complain and cry to God for the promise to come to pass in our life. No, we thank God for the promise to come to pass in our life. We praise God for the promises to come to pass in life. I like what it says in Psalms 34, 1 and 4. I will bless the Lord sometimes, only when things are good. Only when there's money in the bank and I'm healthy. No, I will bless the Lord at all times. It's not dependent on what's going on in my life. You will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I'm reversing it a little bit because sometimes it's seldomly in our mouths. Sometimes praise is, why? I'm going through a hard time, Pastor. If you knew what I was going through, you would understand. Yeah, I've been through it. I understand. Pastor goes through a lot of stuff. Glory to God. But you know what? I've learned to praise God in the misery of life. Amen. And you need to praise God regardless of what it looks like. And it says here, the humble shall hear it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with us. And let us exalt his name together. We practice our faith by praying for one another. When was the last time you prayed for somebody? Glory to God. And I'm going to say this. In James, it says here, confess your trespasses to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So it makes a righteous man avail much. So it makes tremendous power avail much. Amen? And so your prayers can make a difference in somebody's life. If somebody's going through a problem and they're talking to you about the problem, well, instead of crying with them with their problem, pray for them. Say, oh, I'm so sorry you're going through that. I feel your pain. No, pray for them so you can remove their pain. Pray for them that God can do something in their life. We practice our faith by witnessing through doing good works and professing what God has done in our life. So you practice by witnessing the goodness of God. That's how you practice your faith. In other words, you see somebody, I'm telling you, I like to witness to everybody I come in, as many people I come in contact with, I like to try to witness to them if I have time. If I have a mirror and I put it under their nose and it fogs up, I'm going to witness. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That means they're alive. That means they're alive. Hold on 1 second. Let's make sure you're alive here. Yo, Jesus is real. Jesus is alive. Jesus changed my life, and Jesus can change yours too. Amen? For the good. Amen? And so, and the Bible says in Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before men so men can see your good works and glorify God which is in heaven. The Bible says that God's grace saves us, but we're saved, and the purpose for our salvation in Ephesians 2:8-10 is for us to walk in good works. God saved you to walk in good works. Do you believe that today? So in closing out today, to recap on my message, if you're gonna exercise your faith, you must practice your faith by being a doer of God's word. You must practice your faith by controlling your words. You must practice your faith by walking in love towards your enemies and by actively blessing them. You must practice your faith by actively loving God, His Word, and God's people. You must practice your faith in worshiping and praising God, and I will say on a daily basis. Boy, I'm going to the next level there. Practice your faith by praying for others, and practice your faith through witnessing to others the goodness of God. And if you do these things, I believe that you will walk in exceeding, growing faith. Do you believe it today? Did you receive it today? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Amen. Father, I thank you for your mercies and your goodness and your love. And I thank you, Father God, that you are raising this church up to be a mighty church in you, to be faith giants in you, Lord. I thank you for those that are in the audience, those that are listening and watching by video. And we just know if you're out there, maybe you've never confessed the Lordship of Jesus Christ. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. God's knocking on the door of your heart, and Jesus is just a couple words away. And all you have to do is confess the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and God will radically change your life and bless it. And so if you're ready to make that commitment today, just pray this simple prayer and mean your heart. Say, dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead to save me. Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that for the first time, we believe you got born again. Stay connected with our broadcast. And if you're here locally, we want to invite you to come be a part of Exceed Life Church. If you're not here locally, find a good church that will help you grow in your faith so you can move in exceeding faith in the future.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.